And so let's go ahead and start off with prayer, and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word. We're grateful that we can be here and share together. Pray your spirit guide and direct. May the divine teacher illumine our minds to your truth. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So we're continuing on because we're referring to this series as the Thing Above series. And we're pivoting off of the references in Colossians 3 to the things above. And so we see in Colossians 3:1, therefore, since you be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where the Christ sits on the right hand of God. And then in 3:2, set your affection. I want to retranslate that. It's not dealing with feeling, it's dealing with thoughts. And so set your frame of mind. Keep setting your frame of mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. And so here we see believers, you know, being exhorted to keep setting their frame of mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And so these things above, though, are things that are related to our position in Christ, since we're co-raised with Christ. And so these things above relate to our position in Christ and to the oneness we share with Christ. And so, you know, our frame of mind or our reflective thinking, we've referred to that as kind of second level thinking of kind of what's running in the background of how we relate to things and others. And so this reflective thinking is a type of thinking that it does influence our attitudes, our opinions, and our actions. And so the Christian is exhorted to keep setting their frame of mind on these things above, related to our position in Christ. And so one of the things we can see in Scripture is when our frame of mind or our reflective thinking is aligned with God's opinion of who we are in Christ, that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to be ministering as he desires. And so this, you know, setting our frame of mind on things above, there is an alignment of our thinking with God's thinking. And that plays an important role in our Christian lives. Today we want to consider the truth that the believer in Christ is part of a new creation, a new creating. And so let's go ahead and begin by looking at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And let's just drop right into this verse. King James says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So first we want to address that. It's just, therefore, if anyone not be in Christ, but is in Christ, we'll supply the indicative verb here is. So if anyone is in Christ, and then you see the ellipsis in the King James, he is a new creature. It's just, you see the ellipsis, he is. We don't need that. It's just, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation, not creature, but creation. This is our word. This is the noun. And this looks at God's creative action. We have a cis ending on this word. And so the cis ending indicates an action in the Greek is being emphasized. And so this is looking at God's creative action of making or creating something which has not, that did not exist before. And so if anyone is in Christ, a new creating, we could even say, a new creation, a new creating. And he goes on, he says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a game changer, a new creating. And now let me back up here. And let me just pick up a little bit of context. Back up in 5:14. Paul says, for the love of Christ constrains us because we thus judge. For if one died for all, just on behalf of all, then we're all dead or died. And he died for all, just on behalf of all, in order that they which are living should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. That should be a capital H, which died on behalf of them and rose again. And so so we see something about our position in Christ. It's a new and quality creating. It's a new creation. And so this is something that didn't exist before. And so what does that mean? And so if you think about this, no one was in Christ before his cross work and the sending of the Holy Spirit. And so this is, this is important for us to realize that we are part of a new creative act of God. And this is a limited group that is in Christ, which we are a part of. And so let's just go back and put a couple things together. So let's go back into John chapter 14. And this is the upper room. And this is Christ before his cross work. As he's speaking, Judas has left. He's in the process of being betrayed. He hasn't been taken yet. And so in John 14:16, and he's already given the new commandment to the church to love one another. And he says, as I have loved you. And so in order for somebody to fulfill this new commandment, there's going to have to be some changes. And so he's going to talk about some positional changes. You know, a human can't love as Christ loved because the God-man. So his love was God's quality of love, divine love. But through his cross work and the application of that cross work, a new class of humans to be able to fulfill this new commandment by having a position in him and he having a position in them. And so we see this. And so let's just pick up in John 14:16. So he's anticipating, when he's giving the new commandment, he's anticipating that his cross work would provide the necessary basis for this new creating that would enable humans to love as he loved with divine love. And so you see that. Let me just pick up in John 14:15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he's going to go on and talk in chapter 15 about abide in me and I in you. And that's going to allow in the future for the potential for fruit production. And so he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, as I will request from the Father as an equal, and he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter of the same kind, talking about the Holy Spirit. that he may be with you into the age. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. And the word know here is experientially knows him. And then the Lord says, you know, and this is to the 11, but you experientially know him. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And then he says, for he dwells alongside you. It's the Greek preposition, it's para. It's, the King James says he dwells with you. It's just alongside you. And then we see there's going to be a change, though. He says, and he shall be in you. Talking about the Holy Spirit, referencing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this was going to be something new. Now, let's just continue on down to verse 20. And the Lord says in verse 20, and so at the time he's speaking, no one was in him. And nobody was in Christ, and Christ wasn't in believers at this point. The Holy Spirit hadn't been sent. And so when we consider our position in Christ, we're part of a In Christ, we're part of a new creative. And let's see how this takes place. Let's just go back for a quick review. Let me just grab Acts 1:5. I've been here a couple times before, but just to put this to mind, in Acts 1:5. And this is after the Lord is, after his cross work, he's resurrected, and before his final ascension here to the Father, speaking here to the disciples. And so in Acts 1:5, he says, for John truly baptized in water, but you shall be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And so not many days from now, you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, if we go over to 1 Corinthians 12:13, we find out that this is how we are in Christ, by Spirit baptism. And so in 1 Corinthians 1:12, not 1:12, 12:13, Paul just says, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. And so here we see it's by Spirit baptism that we are immersed into Christ. This is how we are in Christ. It's by Spirit baptism. And so by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. We'll comment more on this in just a little bit. Because prior to the day of Pentecost, God saw humanity in its two races, Jew and non-Jew. But that changed on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit began baptizing believers into Christ. There's a third race. In Christ, we're a part of that third race. In Christ, we lose any racial distinction we had as a Jew or a non-Jew, as soon as we entered into Christ, and we're part of that third race, we're part of this new creating, something that wasn't formerly in existence. And so you see this, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink one spirit. And so that looks at how we get into Christ, how we are in Christ. It's by spirit baptism. We can say on the other side of the coin that Christ is in us by regeneration, by the new birth. And so this is something that as a group of people, this is unique. We're in unique that no other group has had what we have or will have what we have. God has a special place for us in his plan and purpose. And this is something that would certainly fit in the category of things above. To keep setting your frame of mind on things above. Having this information is very important to keep coming back to as you are here on earth and you're bombarded with all kinds of information. But you have information from God in the Word of God that tells us exactly God's opinion of who we are in Christ. And that's something that's extremely helpful when it comes back to our attitudes, our opinions, and our and our actions. So with this idea of being a part of the new creation, this word to create, we have a couple places where we have the verb katizo used, and we can see this in Ephesians 2:9. And so these verses are going to be familiar to you, but we want to go through them anyway because we're emphasizing a little something different than when we've gone through these verses in the past. So in Ephesians 2:10, we see that created in Christ in that second clause. And so in 2:10 it says, for we are his workmanship. The his here is in reference to the Father. We're his workmanship. And we've talked about this word that's translated workmanship. It's the Greek word poema. Poieo is to do or to make. The ma ending emphasizes the result of an action. So it just literally says, for we are the result of his doing. And then the next clause, it says, created in Christ Jesus. It's an aorist passive participle. And so one way to translate that, you know, when I try and translate things, some that are working in the Greek may appreciate this, but sometimes I try to do it so I can reverse translate. So I might be able to. So it has the idea of having been created. So if you understand what I'm doing, the having with the ing, that would indicate that we're dealing with a participle. Having been, it's an aorist. This is something that's happened at a point in time. And then our verbal form for katizo is to create. And so having been created in Christ, Jesus, just unto good works, with reference to for good works. Now, it's always interesting when you think about this verse, because it's not just left up to the individual. Okay, you know, get busy. You're created, you know, for these good works. We're the result of God's doing, created, having been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the God has previously prepared. Previously prepared. And so we can see here by the context, these good works are going to be related to our being in Christ. Now, remember, it's in Christ that we're part of a new creating. We're part of this new entity. We're no longer just individuals. We're part of something greater. We're part of a new entity. We're part of a new creative activity of God. And so for having been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the God has before ordained, I would just translate this before prepared, the idea of ordained prepared, that we should walk in them, or we could translate it by them, either way would be fine. And so, but we have this word that having been created though in Christ. Now we have another reference to this being part of a new creating. And so let's just skip over to Ephesians 2:14. We'll just go forward a couple verses. So here we see that in Christ, both Jew and Gentile are one, who's made both one. And so this is relating to this new creating. For he is our peace, talking about Christ, who has made both one, talking about Jew and Gentile, one. This is something that wasn't done until the day of Pentecost. And it says, and he's broken down the middle wall of partition. You see the ellipsis between us, talking about between Jew and Gentile. And having abolished in his flesh or by his flesh, just having the word abolished, it's our word just rendered inoperative. By his flesh, the enmity, you know, the enmity that was between Jew and Gentile. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now we get to this last part of verse 15. And the King James reads, for to make in himself. And this word here, to make, it's katizo. This is the Greek verb to create. And so this concept, it's a little bit hidden by our English, made, but this is actually stronger than made. This is to create. And so for to create in himself, and the King James says of twain, twain, that's just two, just of the two. And then what you don't see is an ice preposition here in the English. You don't see after twain or two, you have ice into. And so just in order that he might create in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man. And so that he might create himself of the two, one new man. And this, the new here is kainos, new in quality, new man. And so this is one of the names that describes the new creation, the new man. We have a couple others. I'm not going to zero in on the new man right now or the Christ. I'm going to save that for separate messages. I just want to emphasize from Scripture today that as a believer, we are part of a new creation. Something that formerly wasn't in existence, but is in existence now. And we are a part of it because we are in Christ. And so, you know, this idea to create in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man. It says, so making peace. And then we see that so that he might reconcile both unto God in one body through the crosswork, having slain the enmity thereby. And so we see that in Christ, and let's turn over to Galatians, Galatians 3:28. That there is neither Jew nor Greek. The two racial distinctions prior to the day of Pentecost in Christ are done away with. And so let me just pick up in 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is, I'm just going to translate that, in him is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so some distinctions that were important before we were in Christ are dealt with in Christ, in that we have complete equality in the body of Christ. Yet we do have different functions. We do have different roles. Yet there's complete equality. And there's... So if we go over to 1 Peter and 1 Peter 2:9. And here Peter says, but you are a chosen, and we're going to translate generation here. This is race. You are a chosen race. And the idea here of chosen is elect. You are a chosen race or an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession, peculiar people, but a people for possession, that you should show forth the praises, or the idea of the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we are a chosen race, an elect race. And so here we see, though, because of this new creating, there's a third distinction in the dispensation of the grace of God. There's a third race. We can see this. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10:32. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Ten 31, Paul just says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then he says, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, give the non-Jews, nor to the church of God. Here we have a third distinction. This wasn't a distinction, didn't become a distinction until the day of Pentecost. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 1:2. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Paul here, he's writing to this third distinction. To Christians. And here he says, unto the church of God. That's the third distinction. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And so we've looked at this verse when we were looking at the believer possessing sanctification. And when it says to them that are sanctified, in the Greek, that's a perfect passive participle. The perfect looks at something that's been accomplished with abiding results going forward. The passive indicates somebody else is doing the action. And the idea of sanctification is being set apart. And so unto the church of God, that's the third distinction. As soon as you were set apart, you were baptized into Christ, you were set apart to God in Christ, you're in a state of having been set apart, sanctified. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are just the ones having been set apart and are set apart to God in Christ Jesus, called saints, set apart ones, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You know, you can think about this, you know, prior to Paul's Damascus Road experience. He was a Jew. When he was persecuting the Church of God, the third race, the third distinction, he was doing that as a Jew. He wasn't, he hadn't lost his racial distinction yet, as a Jew. And so, you know, when Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, let's just go ahead and look at that. 1 Corinthians 15:9. And so here Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And now as he's writing this as an apostle, he's part of the new creating. He's part of the body of Christ. He's in the new man. He's part of that third distinction. He's no longer a Jew or a non-Jew. He's part of the Church of God, a chosen race, an elect race. And so, you know, we mentioned that there's some different names of this new creation. And one of them is the new man. And so if we go over to Ephesians 4:24, Ephesians 4:24. And we'll come back at another time to look at our being a part of the new man. So just emphasizing right now is the believer is part of a new creation. And so in Ephesians 4:24, here Paul says that you put on the new man. It's talking about our, you know, putting on as an outer garment to, you know, mentally seeing yourself in the new man, the new creation. And then he says here, which after God, and the word translated after, it's kata, it's measured by, according to, which according to God is created. And so here's ketizo again, is created in righteousness. And the King James says true holiness. And, you know, it's in righteousness and holiness of the truth. But this word for holiness, this isn't our normal word for holiness. It's an interesting word. It has the idea that which is sanctioned by the nature of God. We could translate it purity. And so here we see the new man, though, was created. It's an aorist passive participle, katizo, by the way. The new man having been created according to God in righteousness and purity of the truth. Righteousness and truth are both attributes of God. And so this new creating, the new man having been created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the truth or pureness of the truth, it's in complete harmony with the nature of God. And so, you know, when we find that of the two, Jew and Gentile, are a part of the new man, of the two into one. God's righteousness and his holiness had to be satisfied. And this is in line with the purity of the truth. And so anyway, when we come back to and we start looking at some of the things that are imputed to us in Christ, you think about you're being a part of the new creation, part of the new man, part of the Christ. It's in completely in line with the character and nature of God because of the work that our Savior has done on our behalf. All of that had to be taken care of, and it has been. Let's go over to Colossians 3:10. And we'll look at this, but when, you know, the new man in contrast to the old man, you know, the old man looks at our former position in Adam under the corporal head of Adam and, you know, certain things that were, are part of our being in Adam in contrast to our being in Christ, the new man. The new man looks at in contrast to that. And so in verse 10 and 3:10 says, and having put on the new man. And so the new here is new in time. The new man can be used of new in quality, new in time. Here it's having put on the new man in time. And he says the one which is renewed or being renewed, present passive participle, being renewed, being made new in quality. It says in a full experiential knowledge. The word knowledge here is full experiential knowledge. And so in having put on the new man, the one being renewed, made new in quality into a full experiential knowledge after the image or just measured by or according to the image of him, who created the new man. And then we see in verse 11, in him is neither Greek nor Jew. Talking about prior to the new creating, how God saw the world in two races. You were either Jew or non-Jew. And then we see circumcised or uncircumcised. Barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freedman. But he says, but Christ is all and in all. And so, in other words, the new creation supersedes everything. These other distinctions are no longer important. And so Christ is all and in all. If we go back, let's go over to, let's go to Galatians. And let's go to chapter 6 in Galatians. And I'm going to back up. I'm at Galatians 6:15 here. But I'm going to read verse 14 as well. Now, the King James reads, God forbid. There's no God here in the Greek. That's just the King James. It's just literally in the Greek, just say, may it never be. But Paul says, may it never be that I should boast. You know, Paul doesn't want to boast in his flesh, what he can do, what the flesh is capable of doing. In this larger context, we have, you know, you get a little glimpse of the Galatianites. You know, and Galatianites are manifesting the flesh. They're manifesting what the flesh can do. you know, but they're not even able to keep the law. And so anyway, let's go ahead, since I mentioned it, and we can get a glimpse into the context. I'll just back up to verse 12. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, the idea to make a fair show is to look good in the flesh. They want to show that they can bend the flesh a certain way. And it can look, have a good appearance. And so they desire to look good in the flesh. And then they compel you, the idea constrained to compel you to be circumcised, to live by like a legal principle, you know, follow rules, you know, the flesh, wants to do. And so the flesh wants to do, so it likes to have a list to check off to do. Don't do this, don't do that, do this. The flesh is going to gravitate toward that. The Galatianite, by the way, would be a carnal Christian who's motivated to bend the flesh into the religious works of the flesh. And so that's the thing, that's when you think about a Galatianite. You know, a Galatianite's not operating. They're trying to bend the sin nature into the flesh, into certain works of the flesh that would be more acceptable. But the problem is, if the flesh is the source, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's not going to be pleasing to God. It's going to, you know, the source makes a difference. And so we see, he says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep law, keep any quality of law. Whatever quality of law they're trying to set up for themselves and others, they're falling short because of the flesh. That's the flesh is always going to fall short. It wants to do, but it's, and so here neither they themselves that are circumcised or keep not the law, but just any law, a quality of law. But desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Look here, I've got this person doing this. And they can feel good about it because they've got somebody else doing something, but they're doing it from the flesh. And it may have the appearance, but all they're doing is they're encouraging somebody to try and bend the flesh into certain works of the flesh. Typically, it's going to be the religious works of the flesh. And so that leads us into this 6:14 when Paul says, so now this helps when you see when Paul says, but may it never be that I should boast. And then he gives the exception clause here, save or just accept in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so there's been a separation that happens at the cross for the believer and the world system as a standard. That's the world system. Remember, the ABCs of the world, you know, are to keep rules. You know, the world system is constantly telling you, this is what you should focus on. This is what you should do. This is how you can whatever. This is how you can accomplish your dreams. This is how you can be a self-made person. And it's going to, you know, and it all starts, the world system, it has its ABCs, right? Let me just, I'm going to come right back here. Let's go, I'm going to go back over to Colossians 2. And 2:20, Paul says, wherefore, if or since you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, kind of the ABCs, the founding principles of the world system. Yeah, you know, it's a system that provides some structure. And the system will encourage you to do things from your own strength, and it will give you some opportunities to try and bend the flesh. But it's designed for you to do things from the flesh. And so, wherefore, since you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? You know, it doesn't make any sense if that's not our standard anymore. Why would we want to be living by Satan's standards that's being set through the world system for those that are trying to bend the flesh? And then you see how this comes, the ABCs, it comes back to the basic principles of follow rules. It says in verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not. Those standards aren't for us. Now, coming back to Galatians 6:14, he says, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now we get to verse 15, and that's what I've been trying to, this has all been building up to this verse, and you've got the explanatory guard. He says, for in Christ Jesus, talking about our being in Christ, we're part of the new man, we're part of the new creation. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision is of any strength nor uncircumcision. Now, if you don't have a King James or a New King James, you may not have that clause in here. I'm including it based on the majority text. And he says, neither circumcision is of any strength nor uncircumcision. And then you have, but rather by a strong contrast, these things that are not of any strength, circumcision or uncircumcision, but rather a new, not creature, a new creation. This is our noun with the sis ending, but rather a new creating is, that's the ellipsis, is of strength. This is what's of strength here and now. This new creating, being in Christ. And this new here is new in quality. This is kainos, but a new creation, a new creating is of strength. And so we just wanted to touch on this. This is foundational for us to understand. This is some one of the things we can keep setting our reflective thinking, our frame of mind on these things above, as we are part of a new creator. Our being an elect race, being chosen in Christ for the foundation of the universe. But it wasn't until the day of Pentecost that believers were immersed into Christ. We are a unique group of people, not because who we are, but because of God's plan and purpose and where he has us in this plan and purpose of his life. And so in being a part of this new creating, though, we are a group of humans that we possess things that no human has ever had before. To be in Christ and to have Christ in us. To be able to share and have fellowship with the Son and the Father. To be involved with the divine nature. Because of the indwelling of the Father. When the Lord said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. It's hard to overstate how special and unique this is. And, relating to this truth, it does influence our opinions, our attitudes, and it should our actions. It should influence how we relate to one another, how we see other believers, how we see our traveling here on earth. It's a temporary thing. Our citizenship is in the heavens. This is something, when you think about this, there's never going to be another group of humans that will have what we have, because we're in Christ and Christ is in us. And so this is a new creation. This came into existence other than in the mind of God on the day of Pentecost. And when the rapture happens, that group will be complete. There's not going to be, from scripture, we don't see any other indication that there's going to be more humans in that group. And so something to think about. When you think about, you've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the universe. You've been baptized into Christ. You're sealed in Christ. You're part of a new creating. It gives you a little bit of a different perspective. And we should always remember, we're never without hope. because on the other side of things, Christ in us is the hope of glory. And so we will match up to who we are in Christ. And it's all by grace. That's close. Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful for these truths. May these be things that we relate to and are framing our minds and thinking on things above. And may your Holy Spirit minister as he desires through the gospel of Christ's name. Amen.